And today I'm going to be talking about increasing the anointing. Increasing the anointing that's on your life. The Holy Spirit anointing. And it might shed some light on some things. But first I have this real cool video. And you make sure the volume's on the computer. I want you to watch this video. It's Jesus in action. Okay? Jesus in action. The video? There he is. He's coming. Hallelujah. I gave him a list of scriptures that long. There we go. Watch Jesus in action here today. Notice where he's at.
Master, who did sin? This man or his parents said he was born blind.
Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Notice how many people are watching.
Is this not he that sat and begged?
This is he.
No, he is like him.
I am he.
How were thine eyes opened?
A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight.
Where is he?
I know not.
All right.
How did you receive your sight?
He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed.
If you continue on with that story, you'll find out that the Pharisees went nuts over this healing. Brought in the guy's parents and asked the guy's parents, was he blind? Because here's a man who is blind from birth and gets to see his face at the same time. The question that was asked by the disciples to Jesus is, who sinned that this man might be made blind? And Jesus looked and he said, no one sinned that caused this. And so these people running around saying that sin causes all this, and you know, this has happened to you because of sin, and all this is wrong, okay? Nobody's going to have a deformed child because they sinned. But he said, this is because God wants to manifest the glory of God. Right. Now, this story, I've wondered, this is like one of those delayed reaction healings, okay? And at times I've wondered, why did he have to go to the Pool of Siloam? And a little more research explains why. This place was a hospital. And if you notice, when he was going down there, there's sick people laying around the hospital place, you know? It was like a hospital, is what it was like, this pool. And they were all laying around wanting to be healed. And Jesus caused the law to be manifest by having this guy go wash in this water, which at times they believed had healing properties. What was the answer to the man when he's asked, how did this happen to you? He said, I don't know, this guy named Jesus put mud in my face and told me to go wash. I love looking and researching the miracles of Jesus, because he never does them twice. You know, there's people that he just touched and they were healed. And they began to see and hear and all this sort of thing. He never gave us this little prescription that I say, aha, you see this bottle? If you got it, you'll be healed, you know. Nobody can market this thing called the anointing. And when someone tried to market it, someone tried to buy it. A guy named Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy the anointing. And he asked Peter, how much does it cost me? How much do I got to pay to get this? And Peter looked at him and he said, your money and you are going to perish together. Because the gift of God is free. I'm here to tell you this morning that the anointing of God he puts on your life is free. Okay? I don't care how much money you have. I don't care, you know, what your social status is. God doesn't care. You know, the problem in the image that we have of God is we think God is in this campaign to fix our miserable existence. And he's not. When the scripture says, I have come that they might have life. The word life is the word zoe in the Greek. It's not the word bios. Can you guys guess what word we get from the word bios? What English word we get? The word biology, which is the study of natural life. And by the way, I got to say this. If you think all this just happened, you're a hopeless case. And I can't help you. If you're running around thinking you come from stardust and you were pond slime one day that crawled out of the water and crawled up on a rock and all of a sudden it just happened, I can't help you. That mindset is so far-fetched, it takes more faith to me to believe that than to believe there's an intelligent designer designing this thing called life. I think you got to really have faith to believe that all this come from a bang. Okay? You just look at how you mess one thing up in this system. All these different systems, the endocrine system, the digestive system, the respiratory system. You just mess the circulatory, you mess one system up. And everything goes out of whack. Yeah, that just happened. Pond slime did that. All right. Enough of that bandwagon. Jesus began his anointed ministry only after he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. They got this new movie coming out. It's supposed to be about the young Jesus doing miracles. Folks, it's not true. Jesus doesn't do miracles when he's a kid. He gets his ear grabbed by his mother and yanked out of church when he's 12 because he wouldn't listen to her. Now, come on, Mama. Your 12-year-old just jumps on a train and goes to California, 3 days' journey. For us, it's California, okay? He's 12 years old. He jumps on a train. He goes to California, and you and your husband are running all over the place looking for him between here and California. And you find him in church. And you look at that boy and say, "Boy, why have you did this to me and your father?" "But Mom, don't you know I must be about my mother's or my father's business?" And she reaches up and she grabs his ear. Oh, I'm doing a little liberal stuff here. I'm adding some stuff, okay? I know how moms are. And says, "Boy, you come out of here. Me and your dad is going to have a talk with you." And the Bible says that he was obedient unto them. We don't hear from him again now till he's 30. Whoop. Hallelujah. Only after he was anointed with the Holy Spirit did he do miracles. Look at what Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Would you put that up for me, Don? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I want you to look what this says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power so that he could do what? So that he could do good. You want to do good. That means you need an anointing. Isaiah 10:27. Look at this one. Isaiah 10:27. "And it shall come to pass that in that day his burden shall be taken away off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Oh, hallelujah. What is a yoke? A yoke is this giant piece of wood that has two compartments in it. They would take an older steer or bull or whatever you want to call it, and they would fasten it up to a younger one. The older one would be stronger and would be able to pull the younger one along. When the older one got tired, I don't have time for all this. The older one would just be standing like this. The younger one would be like this, on their toes. Okay? And so the younger one is being pulled along by the older one. Now, why did they do this? Because I don't know about you, but when you get older, and I'm finding this the closer I get to 60, you get tired or faster. Okay? And they want to do the whole field. And so the older one would get tired. And when he get tired, he would begin to slunch. And when he began to crouch, the younger one would then be on his flat foot. And the strength of the younger one combined with the strength of the older one, that'll preach, would honestly get the job done. Okay? Knowledge and strength. I said it'll preach, but I'm not going to go there. And they would get the job done. Well, they learned real quickly, we can't leave, we got to put a muzzle on their mouth. Because while they're in the midst of the corn at harvest time, the steers are going like this along the way. They're eating corn. Do you know what happens if they eat too much corn while they're harvesting? Listen to me. You should really get this. While they're eating too much corn, their neck would begin to swell. When their neck would begin to swell, the dryness of this yoke, the dryness of this yoke would cause it to crack. And the more corn they ate, the more their neck swelled, the more the yoke got broke. If you feel like you're tired and worn out and you're being led around by a yoke, folks, you need to start eating more. Spiritually. Then the yoke will be broke, and once the yoke was broke off your neck, then the anointing can flow freely. Hallelujah. Some people are bound up and can't allow the anointing to flow freely in their life. People are being neglected because you're not releasing the anointing you have in your life. It says, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Jesus healed the sick. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Jesus overcame the power of the devil. He did his first miracle in John chapter 2, verse 11. He did his first miracle at a wedding. And after his anointing, look at John 1:32. Would you put that up for me? And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. It abode. It began to live on Jesus, the Spirit of God that I'm talking about. This anointing of the Holy Spirit began to flow on him. And he began to do stuff. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which strengthens us with you in Christ and hath anointed who? Is God. Oh, hallelujah. Anointed us. There is an anointing on our lives, and we have to realize that there is an anointing on our lives. 1 John 2:20. But ye have an unction, that's another word for anointing, from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have this special unction that the Spirit of God uses to teach you with. If Jesus needed this heaven-sent anointing, And by the way, folks, I don't know if you get this or not, but while Jesus walked around, he was 100% man. But at the same time, he was 100% God still. That's what made him the perfect sacrifice for mankind. He was the God-man. He wasn't 50-50. He never quit being God at the same time he quit being man. You know, right now, he's 100% man. And he's 100% God. And someday, you're going to walk up and see him face to face. Someday, you're going to get to look at Jesus right square in the eyes. And you know what you'll do? I can tell you exactly what you'll do. When you look at him right square in the eyes, you're going to go like this. This is what you're going to do. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, every knee shall bow. Adolf Hitler is going to bow. Mao Zedong is going to bow. They're going to bow. Osama bin Laden, let's get modern, is going to bow. It says, every knee shall bow. That's you, that's me, and that's everybody that ever lived. Now here's the difference. When you bow, and when you look at him, is he going to be your father? Is he going to know you by name? He said, and this is eternal life, John 17, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Is he going to know you intimately? Or are you going to be afraid when you see him because you know you don't have the covering? Oh, hallelujah. You don't have the covering. Praise God. Of the blood of Jesus. If you don't have the covering, you're going to be bare in front of him. Oh, hallelujah. If you have the covering, you're going to be wearing the robe of righteousness. Right in front of him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If Jesus needed this anointing from heaven, how much more do us mere mortals need it? Paul wrote that God anoints us. Jesus declared, you have an anointing. And many times, I'm telling you right now, I've been at this thing for almost 30 years, I've sensed an anointing when you're ministering the Word of God. Not only in the house of God, but outside of the house of God. I take this thing, I've taken it to work. I took this anointing, this teaching, I took it to work. And at one time, every single person in my workplace was affected by this anointing, and they were all reading the Bible on breaks. Of course, my captain got ballistic over it and put a law in our shacks right there, a big sign. No reading material except pornographic magazines. He used the word Playboy. No reading material except Playboy and newspapers. And he had to have Playboy because that's what he read. And he put in capital letters, N-O, Bibles, / exclamation point. Because he came in one night, went in one guard shack, and there was a guy reading the Bible. And then he went over to the other one, and there was a guy reading the Bible over there. And he goes, what's going on over here? What's this deal here? What are you guys all of a sudden are reading the Bible for, you know? Folks, it isn't nothing. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. And the more anointed you are, the more you carry this anointing with you. Oh, hallelujah. There's times when I've been praying for the sick and I've sensed an anointing. Not all the time, but times I have. Sometimes I've even spoken it out. I've said, somebody's getting healed. If you take it, your knee or your hip or your shoulder or whatever, you begin to feel this anointing on a certain area and you know that God is at work. Oh, hallelujah. You need to need that anointing. And you and I just got to have more anointing. Because people are more needy today than they were. They're just needier than they used to be. In Luke 4, which is a powerful scripture, Jesus gives us a introduction of something. Now this actually comes out of Isaiah 61. It's almost a requote of I-61. Isaiah 61, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about it, and in Luke, Jesus fulfilled it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Now, by the way, this is the first message Jesus preached. He come out of the mount, out of the wilderness. He went into the temple. He took the scrolls and he preached this message. And it was so well received that a whole bunch of people picked up stones and wanted to kill him. And they tried to push him off the edge of the cliff there in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God caused Jesus just to walk through the group of people. He's anointed me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the covering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. What got him in trouble is he said, and this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, I'm the one. He was sent here and anointed to preach, to proclaim, and to release. So are you. How do I know that? I didn't put the scripture up here. This is totally free, not in my notes. That's how I can tell you it's totally free. Jesus appeared to the disciples. He says, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you with the same anointing. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. There are people you know that need set free. People you know need it. God wants to anoint you to do certain things. Not everything, just certain things. Some people think that they got to do everything. That's not what God's done. He's giving me an anointing to teach His Word. I have an anointing to do that. I know I have an anointing to teach His Word. I don't try to get outside of that anointing. You don't see me up here with a microphone trying to sing a special. You don't put a guitar in this guy's hand and I'm not going to go da-da-da-da-da-da-da. See, I was trying to get out of the anointing one time. I just watched those guys play the guitar and I went, ooh, this is what I want to do in life. So Hunter, I went out and bought me a guitar, you know. I'm a determined individual. And I got me a chord book. I got Mel Bay's easy guitar chords because I need easy, okay? And I'm learning all these frets. G, E, C, D. Oh, I like D. D's easy. Okay, now it's time to put it together. Wait a minute. This is supposed to go like this, right? Wait a minute, this don't sound good. I need to do it faster. And then I end up, this one doing nothing, you know. I go, I can't play the stinking guitar. Wait a minute now, there's got to be something. I called people. There's got to be a secret to this. These guys just go like this, you know. There's got to be a secret to this thing. I called people. Well, you need to practice this first, and you need to really learn this chord. All right, just do one. Don't get all hyper and try to do them all. Just learn one. You like D, learn D. Okay. I can't do this thing. Oh, guess what? You're not anointed. All right, I can't do that. I can't do the guitar. So, Brett, I'm going to do the tambourine. That is simple. You know what I'm saying? I watched kids do the tambourine, you know? It sounded great to me. Until my wife completely stops playing one day in the middle of a worship service. All these people watching. And says, Don, yes, honey, would you please put the tambourine down? No training. I had no one to give me training. So I can't play the tambourine. I guess I just ain't anointed to play an instrument. And those of you that are, I covet. See, that's what I'm saying, though. We try to do stuff we're not anointed to do. Just because we want to do it, you know? We need to do it. Oh, come on, folks. I have an anointing to counsel young men in ministry. And, you know, you got to keep throwing a rope. Yank him back every now and then. I mean, I used to be a young man in the ministry. You don't want to hand me a microphone when I'm a young man. My pastor handed me the microphone one time. Let me tell you what happened. I wasn't no youth pastor. I wasn't no preacher. I wasn't nothing. I sit in the pews. But I saw all these young people at the altar praying. And my heart has always went toward children and young people. It's always went that way. I saw them going to the altar and praying, and I saw all these gray hairs sitting in the congregation with their arms crossed watching these young people praying, as if I'm not going to go up there and pray with them. And so I'm kind of standing off the side. I forgot. I did operate the sound, or the tape ministry, so I did have that job. But I asked the Lord, I says, Pastor, can I say something? And he goes, sure. So he hands me the microphone, and I walk up here, and I look out across the congregation, all these young people up here at the altar praying. You bunch of stiff-necked grayheads! My hair wasn't gray in them days. Boy, he's going, how do I get this microphone away from this guy? God's wanting to do a revival amongst these young people, and that guy wouldn't let me teach the dog class, and we didn't even have dogs. I'll tell you one thing God has not really given, besides music, he's not given me an anointing for street corner evangelism. I just don't have an anointing to go down on the corner and put a sign on me that says turn or burn, you know. And one time I seen a guy walking down here on one of the corners that had a sign on says repent, and on the back it says or go to hell, you know. Of course, most people don't know what the word repent means, but and I'm driving by and I'm thinking, man, I just wish that guy'd get that stupid sign off his back. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, you leave my server alone. At least he's doing something. I went, whoops. I don't have an anointing to do that, though. I just don't have an anointing to do that. So I know if I go and do it, it's going to be unfruitful, you know? Focus on the ministry and the anointing that you have, you know? And you'll find success and you'll bear fruit in the places that God has called you and for the purpose that he's anointed you. Now, for you music people, look at this next verse in 2 Kings 3. This is so powerful right here. This is Elisha talking, the prophet Elisha. Bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass that when a minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him and said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. See, by the anointing of anointed music, by calling somebody that had the anointing of God on their life to play music, when that music began to play, the prophet got a message from the Lord and began to prophesy. And this was actually in the middle of a war. This was in the middle of the war. They were about to be destroyed, and God is calling, the prophet is calling through God, a person who plays the instruments. I remember years and years ago when I went to the church the first time, and started attending this church. I heard people singing and I heard people doing all this. And it was in the middle of a revival, and my wife used to sing. Now, she told me when she was little she couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And they used to make fun of her. And I just find that funny, but she, you know, she began to sing, and I thought this was good. And the evangelist called her up front during this revival. And he looked at her and he says, sister, he says, you are singing now for the Lord and it's awesome. He said, but God just told me he's going to put an anointing on your voice and you're going to sing and people are going to weep from your singing. And he laid hands on her and she was slayed in the spirit. And you know what? I saw a difference in her after that. I saw a difference. I could recognize it standing on the outside. I saw this anointing. You know, we need the Word of God, and we need music. Elisha called for music, and then he heard from God. That's why music is a power force. You know, people, they come to me and they say, well, I don't like singing. And I just have to say, too bad. Tough. I didn't write the rules. You know what the Bible says? You want to get in God's presence? Here's what it says. Scripturally, this is it right here. come before my presence with singing. You say, I don't like singing. Tough. I can't sing at all. But there ain't none of you out sing me in here. I hear you. I have to stand up here because I'll deafen you if I stand back there. Because I bellow off. That's why I get way off to the side where I don't distract whoever's playing over here. Because sometimes I make up my own words. I actually had my mic on one time while I was singing, and I made up my own words. Once again, my wife stops. Honey, will you please turn your mic off? Oh, I'm sorry. Music, worship, CDs, personal, individual, singing to the Lord. Oh, it stirs up an anointing in you. And that's why we have a worship service at the beginning of our service to stir the anointing in people's hearts. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Music does that. I know prayer can increase anointing and, of course, getting quiet, reading the Bible, playing some Christian CDs or worship music. All that kind of stuff can increase the anointing and so forth. But music has this total power to give you a special anointing that can break yokes of bondages. Now, some people, I'm talking about increasing it, okay? Put that one King scripture up there, that next one. I want you to see something here. It came to pass that when they had gone over, this is Elijah and Elisha crossing the Jordan River. Elijah said to Elisha, ask me what I should do for thee before I'm taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray that thee let me a double portion of thy spirit which is upon me. So what's he asking for? He asked that Elijah give him a double portion anointing. Double what Elijah had. Paul in the New Testament said that we should covet. Now, you guys know what the word covet means. Be greedy for the best gifts. The gifts of the Spirit that are intended by God to be part of our Christian experience. Spirit-filled believers are called to be ministers and to minister in the power of the experience, but only through their giftings. And you get out of the giftings, and let me just tell you, folks, you mess up. Jesus said you have to press into the things of the kingdom of God. In other words, you have to put some effort into it. And that's why the pre to this case right here, Elijah kept trying to get Elisha to stay somewhere. He actually three places, Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho. All three of those places stand for something. Pre-reading this, he says, I want you to stay here. I'll be back. And Elisha says, I'm going with you. Purpose. All three things stand for something different. Gilgal stands for worship. They all stand for something different. You stay here. He says, nope, I'm going with you. So Elijah takes off his mantle, strikes the water of the Jordan River, it dries up, and he walks across with Elijah on his hip. They get over on the other side, and he says, what do you want? He said, I want an increased anointing. I want a double portion. How'd he get it, folks? Elijah looks at him and says, if you're with me, and you have to understand some things. Elisha's just like you and me. He don't know the details. He just knows what God's going to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just follow Elijah, which, by the way, is my favorite Bible character. You got to like Elijah, man. This guy didn't put up with crap. He was not politically correct in his society. He just told it like it was. He didn't care if you were the president or the king or the queen or who you were. He was telling you the truth. And he says, if you're with me, if you're with me when I am taken away, you'll get it. So one of the keys to increasing your anointing is hanging around anointed people. Not people that suck the life out of you. There's enough of them. We run around with negative Nancy. No offense, any Nancys. No offense, Nancy. We run around with them. That name just popped into my head. No offense. I don't think we have any Ruths, do I? Do we have Ruths in the back? Okay. See, I don't know what's back here. I don't know who's out here every Sunday. But we hang around with people that suck the life out of you is what I'm getting at. Most of them are coworkers, and we let them dictate our life. You know, they tell us where and what and when and how and organize everything, you know, around our life. And it sucks the life out of us. But the more we're around anointed people, you know, the more we're hanging around. I mean, he's so close, he's with him. This chariot comes down and pushes Elisha out of the way and swoops Elisha up. And Elisha's standing there watching Elijah be taken away, and all he sees is a single mantle, which is the second thing to increasing the anointing. He sees a single mantle fall out of the sky. You know how important that mantle was? He walked by Elisha when Elisha was plowing in the field. He was working. He walked by and he put his mantle on his head. And he pulled it away and he started walking away. And it so impressed Elisha that he burned his plow. He wanted to go and have a party with his family. And Elijah looked at him and said, if you do that, you're not fit for the kingdom. But you go do what you must do. But what I'm offering you, you can't get at the store. And he burned his thing and killed the ox and gave him to his family and left. And followed Elijah. Sometimes you have to pick up that mantle. You know, my pastor could never eat without spilling on his chest. I have picked up that anointing. We have stock in the product called Shout. And I'm going to be honest with you. I see a whole lot of things in my life and ministry that my pastor did. And I inherited stuff from him. He was a great man of God for 30-some years. He took that mantle. He went right back over to where the river was, smacked the river, and it opened up. And he walked back into Jericho territory. Isn't that awesome? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Elisha did 32 miracles. Elijah did 16. Yeah, they just made that up, in case you were wondering. You know, people, I don't believe the Bible's true. That was just made up. They strategically put 32 miracles. As a matter of fact, they wanted to make it really, really fancy. So here's what they did. Elijah does 31 miracles and dies. He does 31 miracles and he dies. And they bury him. Didn't complete the will of God. You know, some people think, well, it's too late for me. Really? He's buried, he's in a tomb, and his flesh is rotting off of his body. We have no idea how much time goes by. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it does tell us that a war is going on close to Elisha's grave. And so they shove back, this guy dies in the battle, so they shove the tomb aside and they throw the body into the sepulchre. The body rolls down into the sepulchre, hits the anointed bones of Elisha, and comes back to life. It's too late for me. Which completes his 32 miracles. Stand up with me. I'm here to tell you.